This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
You're listening to another edition of the Kona Edge. Brad Brown with you. Thanks for joining us today. Before we get into today's podcast, I just want to send a quick shout out if I can. One of the best Ironman triathletes that we've produced here in South Africa over the last couple of years was preparing for his last, longest ride ahead of Ironman 70.3 in Buffalo City here in South Africa this coming weekend. And he was hit by a car on the weekend. So a massive shout out to the captain, Matt Troutman, who is in hospital as we speak. Massive operation the day after that accident. He's fractured his L1 vertebra. They've had to fuse a couple of those vertebrae together. So yeah, pretty bad accident. Got knocked from behind just outside Cape Town, near Franschhoek to be precise. And I know Matty's doing well. Matt, I'm not sure if you listen to the podcast, but we're sending you tons of positive vibes, and we hope that you bounce back soon. We know you're in unbelievable nick ahead of 70.3 this weekend. And also to everyone else who's traveling to East London for 70.3 in South Africa this weekend, best of luck to all of you as well. Hope you have a great race. One of my favorites. It's a toughie, very tough bike course, but very cool race all in all. So that's it for me. Let's get into today's podcast, though, and I'm super chuffed that I get to share another great story with you. And today, it's Don Oswalt. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Listening to the Kona Edge, an absolute pleasure to welcome you back onto the podcast, and a great pleasure to head to Charleston, South Carolina, to catch up with our next guest. And what a pleasure to welcome Don Oswalt onto the podcast. Don, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us today.
Yeah, you bet, Brad. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Don, you've been lucky enough to race on the Big Island. Triathlon is a pretty big part of your life. Where did it all start? Where did the triathlon bug bite?
I kind of started back in 2009. I had some buddies that were doing tries and just always wanted to give it a shot. So, they were doing long distances. I just started to do sprints and Olympic distances and then just kind of worked my way up from there. Did my first half in 2012 and my first goal in Florida in 2013.
That's quite a nice progression. A lot of people just jump in sort of head first and go for the big one. But you built up slowly. Would you advise people that that's the way you should do it? Obviously, everyone does their own thing. But is that the more advisable
right
path to follow?
I'm not sure. I think so. But it really worked for me. It really worked as far as not getting too crazy with the training and the time commitment is the big thing. And so I just kind of progressively worked my way up to a longer distance as the years clicked by. And I would recommend it because it's a really big toll on your time, your family, financially. It's just the longer distances you go, ups the ante on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, if we have to go back to your sort of childhood, have you always been active? Were you always a sporty kind of kid?
Yes and no. I mean, I grew up in Florida with my mom, and so we spent a lot of time on the beach and doing things outside, but never really did any organized sports of any kind. I did a little bit of track in school and football in school, but once that ended, I really just kind of did not do much exercise at all. And so in my mid-40s, just wanted to I had this desire to do something different. And so just jumped in head first with some guys that I knew that were doing it. I borrowed a bike and did not really know how to swim too well. I had a little bit of a running background, but it was fun. I really enjoyed it. It's something that really, once you do it and see others do it, it really is addictive, as far as just being out there with others and trying to improve yourself.
knowing what you know now about the sport, do you wish you had started when you were younger?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, as far as being able to be competitive, you know, in my age group, I wish I kind of would have, you know, started earlier. But, you know, that's just the way it worked out, so which is fine.
Absolutely. Don, you're pretty busy outside of triathlon. You work in sales. You work for a printing company in Charleston. You mentioned sort of balancing family and work and commitments, but you're also involved with your local Rotary Club as well. How do you get that balance right with regards to work life, family life, other commitments that you have outside of the sport? It is a challenge, isn't it?
It is a big challenge, Brad. It really is. My wife and I have really, it's taken us a few years to just kind of find a balance of, you know, me having a schedule, her knowing it ahead of time, and if there's something that conflicts with, you know, what we wanted to do, you know, I try to change things up or move things around, and, you know, I made a commitment to her and to our relationship, you know, that I would not train on Sunday, so kind of limits me a little bit, but like I said, I do most of my training in the morning, and so it, you know, kind of have to double up on some things during the week to get that extra training in. But it is difficult, and I don't know how people do it with kids and other commitments, because it really takes a toll on your family. And but we've come to find a balance. You know, it's all about communication with my wife and I. It really has been good to, you know, find that balance. And you know, it's all about communication. We still try to, you know, have some, not arguments, but we definitely have to find that balance during the season when things get long and heavy as far as the training goes.
Yeah. Don, I get you. We have some heavy negotiations in our household as well.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Don, when did you realize you were actually pretty good at this, that you had some ability?
It was interesting because, you know, I started out small and then I started, you know, kind of being competitive in my age group. Of course, it's not a huge triathlon community here in Charleston, but there's, you know, a decent amount of people. And so when I started, you know, being able to win my age group and then get male masters, and it was like, wow, I do have an ability that, you know, I was actually surprised at and was proud of, and definitely wanted to just see how that progressed in my, you know, basically my triathlon career. And but it's been a surprise, you know, because I just, it's never been a focus on my radar, but the more I got into it, definitely the more that I was being competitive and just wanting to, you know, be first in age group or at least be on the podium.
That decision to do the first Ironman, for a lot of people, it's a huge decision because it's a lot further than you've ever gone before. Do you remember the thought process and the sort of thinking behind making that decision?
Yeah, I don't know how much forethought or thinking process. You know, the guys that I trained with were like, well, we're going to sign up for Florida. You should. So I kind of did think about it and thought it was just a natural progression from the half that I did in 2012 to doing Florida in 2013. And I knew that it would be a big commitment, you know, financially, time-wise and everything. And definitely, you know, my wife and I weren't married at that time, but, you know, so I had a little bit more freedom. But it wasn't a whole lot of thinking of, you know, planning it out. It was just, you know, hey, let's get out there and get it done. And the training buddies that I had, you know, we would just kind of map out a plan of what we wanted to do in any given week, and just went out there and did it. And I didn't have a coach at that time, and so, but, you know, doing a 10:18 at Florida, I felt pretty good being, and I ended up being about 16th, I think, in my age group there at Florida.
Was that where the seed for Kona was planted?
I think so. But, you know, looking at that's a fast flat course, Florida is. And I was like, well, where would I need to be to get to Kona? And I think the guy that won the age group was at 9:23. I was like, holy crap, how am I going to get shave an hour off my time? And so I didn't really think a lot about it. I was like, well, you know, I enjoyed it, and it was, I had fun, and I felt good, and, you know, I was fairly competitive. And so I, you know, in 2014, I had already qualified for the Boston Marathon, and so I did that, and Kathleen and I got married that fall, and had Chattanooga. That's where I wanted to be as far as doing my next Ironman. So I took 2014 off as far as the full distance. I did a couple of halves and did the Boston Marathon, got married, and volunteered at Chattanooga to kind of check out the course and see, just get kind of logistically how it was looking and all that, and decided that that would be the course that I really wanted to try to qualify at and get to Kona.
And I'm taking it that's what happened. The next year you went back and did it.
Yeah, it was quite a race, man. It was, I went up there, kind of previewed the course about 6-8 weeks beforehand, and I had actually hooked up with a female pro athlete that's up there, Anna Cleaver. She's she moved back to Australia this year, but she and I hooked up, and I took some other buddies with me, and we went up there and kind of previewed the course and just really gave me a good understanding of pacing myself, especially on the bike. It's a two-loop course, very hilly, and so if you burn yourself out on the first loop, you're just dead on the second. So it was great training and great, you know, previewing the course. It was really good, and even the run's hilly. It's a very hilly course, and I did hire a coach in 2015 to help me kind of dial in some things and kind of cross my fingers. And it was a great race. I didn't have a great swim, and 285 guys in my age group, I was like 125th coming out of the water. And so, you know, going to Kona, I thought that, you know, I pretty much kind of lost my chance. And I didn't know that I was that far back, but coming out of the water at 107, I knew I wanted to be right at an hour. So I was like almost 10 minutes down. And so I wasn't too happy, but kind of just did my thing on the bike and moved up from 125th to 13th place on the bike, and just kept my cool and did my plan on the run, and actually came down with a 3:24 marathon, came in fourth place, 3 seconds out of third, and not knowing that they would have four spots going to Kona, I thought that I had just missed it. And but we went to the awards banquet the next day, but found out there were four spots. So it was very exciting, very surprising. It was pretty awesome.
I'm sure that must be a pretty sweet feeling. It's one thing knowing going to the banquet, but going and not knowing and finding out must be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really was. It was pretty exciting. Couldn't believe it. It was just to be doing my second Ironman and to qualify is just pretty phenomenal. You know, I'm just kind of still kind of trying to wrap my head around it. And but it was pretty awesome. Very, very, very cool.
I'm sure. Don, you mentioned you got a coach and you dialed some things in, made some changes. What were some of the major changes you made between the first and second one?
The bike, you know, Anne Moore, she's a coach here locally, and she's very well known for her bike endurance and her bike coaching, and so that was really what I had the most improvement on. And she, encouraged me to get a power meter, so I did that at the beginning of the season of 2015, and was able to really, improve my bike tons, compared to Florida. But yeah, that was where I pretty much made up all the ground that I needed to, and then just kind of, took off on the run and felt good and was able to really put down the, my goal was 330, and to do a 324, it was just amazing.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. Looking at Kona 2016, then did you make many changes in the build up to that race, or was it you had sort of figured out a formula and stuck to that?
Yeah, not too many changes. I still kept with my same coach. She got me there, so I wanted to just continue on with her, and we just continued to dial in, and ramp up. She really got me ready for Kona, and so I did three halves this year and two Olympics, and then I did a three-day bike across South Carolina in July, and just really focused on, just doing the things that would get me, make me as competitive as possible at Kona, and it was. Yeah, we just didn't really do a whole lot other than just keeping the workout strenuous enough that it would just, I'd be able to do well at Kona.
Talk to me about that experience of the Big Island. It's mythical. It's mystical. There's so many different ways right. to describe it. But your experience of first arriving in Hawaii for the World Champs, that must be a pretty special feeling too.
Oh yeah, you just kind of pinch yourself when you get there, and it's very electric, very, like you said, mystical and magical at the same time. And as the week progressed, where they're setting up the runway and the stage and everything, you're just, it's just pretty amazing. And trying to get out there and swim most every day, and there's other people out there, with the same goal, the same look on their face of just really excited about being there and to be able to compete with the best in the world. It was just a really amazing experience, and to get out there on the course and experience some of the conditions was important. And but it was truly a trip of a lifetime. I honestly can say that it was just amazing to just be there to compete. Didn't have the best bike split that I wanted, but still, it was just an amazing day.
Don, approaching a race like Kona, particularly first time on the Big Island, you obviously went into Chattanooga with a specific goal. It was to qualify. How do you approach Kona? Is it a case of going there saying, this might be the only opportunity I ever get. I'm gonna soak it all up and enjoy it all. Or do you go there wanting to really smash it as hard as you can and see how you go against the best in the world?
Yeah, I really wanted to smash it, honestly. And but, I came in 52nd in my age group, which is not really where I wanted to be. But I had a 5:52 bike, about 35 minutes slower than I wanted. But the wind is nothing I've ever experienced. And I don't know how I would even train for that again here in Charleston. We don't have too many hills here, and not hugely windy, so it was. That's the thing that just it really wore me down. And I was going there, wanting to at least be in the top 10, and right around 10 hours. 10 hours was my goal. I was just like 42 minutes off of that, which, looking back, it was maybe I set my bar too high for the first one, but. It was a great day, and I feel very proud of my accomplishment and what I did. It was really cool.
As far as having had the experience now, and even though you didn't go quite according to the plan that you had set for yourself. Have you scratched that itch now, or has it just fired you up even more to go back? Are you done with it, or is the plan to make another assault on it?
I think at some point I definitely would like to go back, Brad. Next year is going to be kind of taking some time and maybe doing a half or two and getting back into the groove, and we'll see what happens in 2018. But, honestly, I was like at 5 hours on the bike, and I said, I'm never coming back here again, because it was just that hard, that mentally, physically challenging. I was like, ugh, it was tough. And, but you know how it goes. 24, 48 hours later, you're saying, well, I might want to come back here and see if I can do better. And so definitely it scratched the itch for a little bit, but I definitely at some point want to go back. Yeah. And just going to depend on how next year or two goes. And we've got some changes financially in our plans next year. My wife's going to kind of go on business on her own, so we're just going to see how the income works out the next year and kind of go from there.
And you've got a few years to mess around, because you smack bang in the middle of an age group, so it might be worthwhile hanging around till you age group up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a possibility for sure. But it was amazing, and it was honestly a great experience, and would love to go back.
What's the biggest lesson that Ironman has taught you?
Oh wow, so many. I think the thing is, if you set your mind to something, that you can achieve it. And I think that's the thing. I think the motto is anything's possible. And really, it truly is. If you just really, work the plan and follow through with what you have set in motion, I think, being able to set goals, achieve them along the way, it just really made me not only a better athlete, but a better person, a better husband, a better business person, a better employee. It really helps you focus on what's truly important. And it's just been a lesson that I am forever grateful for sure.
If you could go back and talk to you 10 years ago, before you started your triathlon career, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself starting out?
Oh, wow. Good question. I would probably encourage myself to push the limit, I guess, and know that, when it's hurting, when you're suffering out there, you're not going to die. It's just a temporary, unpleasantness, I guess. And just that, to push through the pain, push through the discomfort, to really go for it. I've been all, my life has been always about playing it safe. And so this has really taught me to really, to take chances. You can't get ahead if you don't take a chance. And failure is a part of growing. And so I would just tell myself to keep taking chances and keep pushing the limit.
As far as your triathlon career goes, what's the biggest mistake you've made, and what have you learned from it?
Playing it too safe, I think. And, I think I'm always measuring myself on the bike and the run and not wanting to blow up. I guess the worst race that I have ever had was the Boston Marathon, when I did it in 2014. I just, I wanted to do well and just blew myself out of the water. I just really bumped hard. I was running, 7:05 pace all the way through about mile 15, and then I think by mile 24 I was running 11-minute miles, and so I was just dead. And but it really taught me to about nutrition, how important nutrition is, and aid stations, and I passed way too many aid stations on that course. And so at Kona, I made sure that I didn't stop, but I grabbed something at every aid station, making sure I'm hydrating well and taking in nutrition. And that was, I think, the biggest thing is knowing that you have to fuel your body in order to keep going hard.
And those lessons are sometimes hard to learn, but you obviously learned it, because in Kona you ran a 3:25, even though the bike wasn't quite what you wanted. That's a pretty decent marathon time on the Big Island.
Yeah, it really was. I was very proud of that, and actually qualified for Boston in 2018, so I might go back maybe, we'll see. But yeah, it's all about, keeping fueled and keeping cool in that environment, and it was very warm that day, and it was great. I pretty much wore myself out by the end, though. It was pretty tough the last few miles.
I'm sure. And then I think I know the answer to this, but looking at your triathlon career, what are you most proud of? What achievement are you most proud of?
Yeah, I mean, definitely being able to get to Kona early in my career, basically. And I'm proud of the fact that, my wife and I have really found a balance. And that's one thing, because if you're a great triathlete, but you've got conflict at home or any other area of your life that does not want you to train, does not want you to be successful, that would be very difficult. So I would say that I'm very proud of my wife and I being able to work out, my schedule. And, she wants me to fulfill my dreams, but, not at the sake of hers. So it's been really, I've been proud of that we've been able to really be a team effort in my career. And so, in 2017, I'm going to definitely be on her, on the sidelines, cheering her on as she kind of steps out of her comfort zone and goes on her own.
I love that. And that's such an important point as well, though, Don. I think we could probably elaborate more on it, but often Ironman can be a very selfish sport, and it's all about us as athletes, but we, in order for us to succeed, we do need a pretty strong support system behind us, and often it's our family and spouses and kids who suffer. It's you've got to get right. That balance right. It's almost a discipline of the sport. I mean, we talk about swim, bike, run, and nutrition, but that support structure is as important as the other four.
You got it. And if you're out there doing long rides and runs, and you know that you don't have that support, it makes it hard to really push through and to do well and to hit your goals, I think. But if you know that somebody's got your back and that you've got that support, it just makes the training all worthwhile and all the hard work worth the effort. It really does.
Absolutely. Well, Don, I'm going to leave it there. I think we can chat about the four disciplines. We'll save that for another time. But thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and congratulations on getting to the Big Island. And we look forward to following your progress and seeing when you do get back.
Yeah, Brad. Well, I really appreciate it. And I love following you and getting me all the advice that you have on all your networks. So just keep up the great work.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.